Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Couple Speak Relationship Forum on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Susan Lager, a psychotherapist and relationship coach at the Couple Center and Couple Speak in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where I broadcast live each month on Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, do you have communication problems with your spouse, partner, or any family members? Do you feel with some frequency misunderstood or at a loss for how to correct things? Does your spouse nag a lot? Then this episode is for you. Tonight, July 19th, 2017, I'll be talking about the five biggest communication pitfalls people get into and how to avoid them. In this 20 to 30 minute show, I'll teach you some simple strategies for how to have better conversations about almost anything with the people who matter to you, so stay tuned. I'll be using my popular book, I'm Talking, Are You Listening?, where I go into the subject in detail. If you would like to buy it, simply go to my website, susanlager.com, go to the store page, then go to Published Books and Ebooks, where you'll find the link to get it. If it's easier for you and you want things more simple, just go to Amazon.com and you look up my book, I'm Talking, Are You Listening? Fix Communication Problems with Your Partner in No Time Flat, and you'll find it. Now, if you've called into the studio live and would like to ask a question or make a comment, simply dial 1 on your phone and I'll be able to bring you on the air. And please, please, I encourage people to ask questions or make comments. It's a lot more fun. I like the shows to be conversational, not lectures. So, how did I get to this subject? It's been a long road here, but this is not only perceptions and experiences and observations I've made in my personal life, but it comes from years of working with individuals and couples where I would say probably the primary complaint people come in with is communication problems. We have communication problems. Or people come in saying we don't communicate. Which is incorrect. They're communicating whether they know it or not, even if it's nonverbal. But it's a very major issue for many couples. And what happens when there's poor communication, when people fall prey to the five major pitfalls, is that there are major misunderstandings that happen between partners where people come away from conversations having a very different idea about what happened, what was said, who took responsibility for what, et cetera. Partners often feel, at least one partner, often feels controlled in a conversation, so they feel lassoed into the conversation by the other partner, or they feel controlled through an experience of blame or shaming or something that just feels very negative. They don't feel like they signed on for this particular conversation in this way at this time. And as I mentioned, there are often unclear agreements or outcomes. I call that outcome ambiguity. It's a very common problem where partners come away from a conversation with literally alternate realities about what was said and, if anything was agreed upon, what that agreement was. Another problem that happens around poor communication are avoidable hurts and anger. People feel misunderstood. They feel slighted in some way. They don't feel treated respectfully when there's poor communication. And there's often a lot of hurt and anger and resentment that gets stirred up as a result. And needless to say, you know, one of the very common problems that happens in poor communication is the issue of escalation, where things ramp up and it's like a runaway train. Things ramp up very fast. It becomes very reactive, and one person plays off of another or acts off of another, and it's an escalation, and everyone's triggered, nobody feels understood, and it just ends very badly. So I thought this would be a very opportune time to get back to this subject. I've written about it a fair amount in my blog posts and in my free articles that people get when they sign up to my list, but I thought I would go into the five biggest ones. Now, that's not to say that there aren't more than five. I talk about seven in my book, but I'm focusing on five for the purposes of time. So the first one that I would say is very poor timing. Conversations that happen by ambush, where one person just pulls another into a conversation that ideally would be substantive without asking if it's a good time, if the other person is up for it. I will often see this happen where spouses are going on a date or partners are going on a date. It's supposed to be a fun night out, and one person figures, well, we're relaxed, we're having a good time. This is the ideal time to talk about something very controversial. And what I say is, no, no, no. There isn't an agreement that date night is a time to talk about substantive things. Date night is for fun and lightness and pleasure. So conversations by ambush are a real problem. Another aspect of poor timing is an atmosphere or an environment which is not conducive to private important conversation. So people talking on a subway train or on a bus, conversation that other people can overhear in a restaurant where people are seated close by. People do not have productive conversations if there's no experience of privacy. So that's important to really consider. And the final one that I talk about, especially in the book, about around poor timing is when there's no buy-in by the responder. So in other words, there hasn't been an agreement by both parties to talk at that point. So the speaker is talking at their partner. They have not gotten an agreement by the partner that they're up for having this conversation at this particular time. And the fix for poor timing is really a very simple mechanical shift that is based on more respect and more sensitivity to each other and more empathy. Basically, the fix is negotiate the time and the place to have substantive conversations. So it's as simple as one person saying to another, I would like to talk with you about what happened with our son the other day. Is this a good time? Are you up for it? And if the responder says, no, I'm preoccupied, I've got too much on my mind, or I'm tired, then the responder ideally would let the speaker know what would be a better time. So they don't just take it off the table and say, no, I don't want this conversation. If now is not a good time, indicate what would be a better time. And so see that as a mini negotiation. I think that would be really important. So then you have a buy-in, you're both up for it, you're both primed for it, and you're primed for better listening and better turn taking, etc. That's probably the easiest one to fix, poor timing. And by the way, you can learn from mistakes. If you've had conversations that go south really fast and you were in a public place or you had it because you didn't check in to see if your partner was up for it, then make note of what contributed to the non-productive conversation and don't repeat that. So number two in my big list of the five big pitfalls is a complaint focus with no clear agenda. So what happens here is that the speaker leads with complaints, not saying what they need. Often it's blaming statements, you did this and you did that and why'd you do this and why'd you do that? It's all complaints. And when the listener is faced with a barrage of complaints, they're just going to tune out. The listener or the responder also in this scenario often fails to ask about, okay, so what do you want in this conversation? What are you needing from me? What do you feel would be helpful right now? Because you're not saying. So the responder will fail to, the speaker doesn't say, the responder fails to ask. And often the responder, particularly if he's a male, will make assumptions about what a helpful response will be. Men in particular have been primed by the culture to go into fixing mode. So they will go off into left field with a response that does not fit at all. The responder goes into fixing mode. The speaker often feels very unheard and misunderstood in this scenario. And then what happens is something that escalates things. The stress response gets activated in one or both. So either partner or both partners then get into a full-scale stress response where they're into fight, flight, or freeze mode. Now all systems are on high alert. They're triggered, and it's not a good thing. So you want to avoid starting a conversation by initiating a stress response by just the way you begin it. Now, what's the fix for this? It seems complicated, but it really isn't. What I encourage speakers to do is first to, before you initiate a conversation, to reflect about what are your wants or needs, to think about that ahead of time. What am I wanting or needing in this conversation? And then state it. And what might be the wants or needs in a particular conversation? Transactional analysis teaches us that there are four typical scenarios or agendas that people have in any given conversation. One would be just to vent. That's it, just to kind of spew and get something out of your system. Another one would be the need for validation. So the speaker needing to feel acknowledged around a feeling or an event, just a validation. I can see why you're upset about that, or ooh, yeah, must have been pretty bad. Another motive for a conversation might be wanting help to solve a problem. I'm not really sure this is what happened today. I'm not really sure what to do about it. What do you think? I don't want to make things worse. What do you think my options are? What would you do? So really some kind of input about help to fix a problem. And a fourth one is a reality check. And that's, you know, when people say to you, am I crazy or what? This is what happened to me today, and this was my response. This is how I felt about it. This is how I responded. Am I reading too much into this? Have I distorted? Do you think I've distorted what happened? Was my response off? It's the need for a reality check. What do you think about this situation and my response to it? Because I'm really not sure. And then a final one is the need to share information in any given conversation. So I just want to let you know that the practice is at such and such a time, and we need to figure out the logistics. I feel the need to figure out the logistics of picking up our kid and getting to such and such a place. Just sharing information and often strategizing. So it could be any one of these five things. And what I am saying is that the speaker, if they think about it ahead of time, what am I wanting or needing from this conversation, and then state it at the beginning of the conversation. So it might sound something like, you know what, I need to just get this off my chest. I don't need help with the problem. I just need to kind of vomit this out, this this felt so toxic. I just need to let you know what happened. Okay, that's code for I need to vent. The I'm crazy or what? Am I crazy or what question? Am I crazy or what? This is what happened today is often code for I need a reality check. But to be really explicit about what you need in a conversation, and if the listener or the responder doesn't know, and often we don't know, it's not clear, to ask. It's a very simple thing just to say, so what would be helpful? What, you know, what are you asking of me right now? What would be a helpful response? What do you feel like you need from me? Okay? So there it looks like there's one question. Let me bring this, see if this listener. Hello, listener. You have a 772 area code. Hello? I'm not hearing anything. Are you there, listener? Okay. I'm not getting any reception, so feel free to call back. What I'd recommend is you hang up and call back, and if you still have a question, call me back later. Okay? Sorry about that. Okay. Another problem, I would say one of the big five pitfalls, is bad reception, okay? And that's when the supposed responder is preoccupied, doesn't show attention. They may say, I'm paying attention, but they don't show attention. Often there's no eye contact or visual cues. Bad reception happens all the time through text messaging because there's no visual cues and there are no auditory cues. Bad reception often involves a lot of interruption where the responder is not really listening. They're interrupting and making presumptions about things, interrupting and not letting the speaker get to the end of the paragraph. I know I can be guilty of this at times. It's a bad habit. It's something that generally gets learned in families, but it's not good for productive conversation. In bad reception, also, you will often see kind of an off-subject response or a lack of acknowledgement by the responder. So the speaker is talking, and there's either no response or something that feels like it doesn't relate to what the speaker was saying, and something didn't click, something didn't register, and so that it's not going to make the speaker feel any better, and the responder is not going to feel like they've really helped the conversation or made a difference. Often when that happens, the speaker keeps talking. They keep talking into the void, or they shut down in anger or frustration. So they have a partner who's not responding in sync, and so they just keep talking at them. And there is a big difference between talking at someone and talking with someone. So what would I recommend? The fix, as I see it, would be to first, as in the first issue around poor timing, to establish a good time and a place for the conversation so that everyone's up for it. It's kind of an agreed-upon conversation. And also to face each other. I encourage couples to do this all the time, to not be looking past your partner or, you know, in your own head with your eyes closed. Face each other. And most importantly, put aside distractions. Cell phones and TV and all devices need to be off. I cannot tell you how many couples I've worked with where somebody says, I'm listening, but they're doing sideways glances at their cell phone. So it's important to show listening, not just to say, I'm listening. Another thing that can be very helpful is to practice active listening. This is a whole exercise, and what it involves is when the speaker is finished, and the speaker decides when they're finished, and they try to get to the point and be concise and not go on and on and on, the responder ideally mirrors back in their own words what they've understood the speaker's concern and needs are. So So they kind of paraphrase. So in other words, you're saying this was the problem and this is what you need and this is what bothered you about it and this is what, you know, you want, right? If the speaker feels understood and they feel like, yeah, you got it, they will have what we call a soothing moment. It's a visceral experience in the gut around feeling understood, feeling heard. If the responder mirrors back what they feel like they've heard and it doesn't really jive with the speaker, then I would recommend that you restate it, that the speaker restate what they were trying to say, what the complaint was, and what they wanted in the conversation until they get a paraphrase or a reflection back by the responder that feels right on, and they have what we call a soothing moment. So that's ideal. It's not a natural way of talking. It's a bit contrived, but you can really hone that skill with a lot of practice. All right, another one is information overload. Now, I don't mean to sound sexist, but where I see women as being the more guilty parties around this, where the speaker kitchen sinks it. They bring up everything but the kitchen sink. They bring up seemingly unrelated issues with nagging, with guilt provoking, and they also cascade from one issue to the next without any clear focus or connective theme. What happens around that when the speaker is bringing up everything but the kitchen sink and overloading their listener is that the responder or listener starts to tune out, or they give half-hearted attention, or they get angry or defensive. They feel like they've just had an avalanche dumped on them, an avalanche of complaints or an avalanche of some kind of need. It's information overload, and the atmosphere definitely becomes very tense. What I would recommend to avoid this is that the speaker, before speaking, again, reflect on what you want or need in the conversation, what you're trying to say, but also prioritize issues. You cannot talk about everything all at once, okay? And I think one of the reasons why women will often cascade issues and go into what feels like a million different things is it's the way women's brains are constructed with the right and left hemisphere. You know, there are a lot of neural pathways between those hemispheres. So in women's brains, everything's connected. Context is everything. So what happened yesterday around that event is related to this event. So what I recommend people who are guilty of information overload and bring in everything to try to clarify what the main issue is in the theme. So let's say you're giving examples, A, B, C, D, of problems. If there is a connective theme that runs through them, state what the connective theme is. So you might say something like, I'm very upset that you don't seem to prioritize my time. You did it such and such a time. You were late such and such. You didn't call at such and such a time. And I'm giving you examples because it's basically it boils down to that I don't feel that you, that my time is important to you. And this is what I'm asking for. And that could be whatever they're asking for. So to clarify the main issue and the connective theme that runs through what they're saying. And if the responder is not clear, the responder can say, you know, you're talking about what's seems like a million things. What are you trying to say? What is most upsetting to you? What's your biggest concern here? Because obviously I'm not getting it. You're bringing up what seems to be a lot of different things. So to clarify, what's the highest priority concern? And then you'll get to the meat of things, and there'll be more understanding between the two of you. All right, so here's number five, five in my five big pitfalls, communication pitfalls. I call it outcome ambiguity, and I wrote about this as well in my book, I'm Talking, Are You Listening? In outcome ambiguity, this is such a common problem for couples. I see it all the time in my work with couples. Partners come away with absolute alternate realities about what the problem was or what the resolution was. And if there was a resolution, they come away with a very different sense of A, what we discussed, and B, anything that we may have agreed upon. Often in outcome ambiguity, there is no resolution. There's just a lot of complaining and a lot of back and forth, but there's no agreement about how do we leave this? What is our agreement or what do we want to do about this? There may not be any resolution, and there may not even be an awareness that there's no resolution. It generally involves very divisive feelings of frustration or hostility. Those generally get amplified when the takeaway is not clear. So one way to avoid this is to, and I did a YouTube video about this, I call it restate your takeaway. So at the end of a conversation, and this again, it's a fairly easy mechanical shift that you can make, just to restate in your own words, okay, so sounds like you're upset about A, B, and C, and you know, you want to do this, right? And for each of you to restate your understanding about the problem and what, if any, solution was reached, okay? And if there is disagreement about that, go back to the conversation and clarify, no, that's not what I said. I said this, this, and this, or I was wanting this, this, and this. Make the correction then, because if you come away from a conversation with an alternate reality about the outcome, it's just going to unfold in more problematic ways. It's going to lead to other problems. Now, sometimes, you know, there is no perfect solution, so I encourage partners to negotiate a preliminary imperfect outcome if you haven't been able to reach a resolution. So let's say as you restate your takeaway, you realize, well, we didn't really get to an agreement about this. I would recommend that you negotiate an imperfect solution, something immediate that is for the moment. It may not be a permanent or an ideal resolution, but something we can hang our hat on, something that helps us feel like this conversation went somewhere. And that can really be a very helpful thing. But what I recommend is that you set a date to revisit the issue and to hopefully reach a solid resolution, a more permanent or more ideal resolution. If it feels like it's a half-baked resolution, then make a date to go back to it and think about it first and see if you can come up with something that feels more mutual or more solid. And one thing I recommend in terms of outcome ambiguity is try to acknowledge common ground. Okay, so obviously we disagree about when to get the house painted and how to time that with the trees coming down, but obviously we both want to do a lot of outdoor work and we're willing to set aside some money. You know, stuff like that. Try to acknowledge common ground because that will set the stage for a better resolution down the road. So that's it. Now, again, if you'd like to get more detailed information about this, you can get my book, I'm Talking, Are You Listening? Fix Communication Problems with Your Partner in No Time Flat. It's the name of the book. You can get it through my website at susanlager.com and just go to the store page and or you can go to my Amazon store and you can find it there. And I think you'll find it has much more detail about these things, and it talks about the other two communication pitfalls. So I think you'll find it really useful. Now, I hope you enjoyed the show. I want to thank my listeners. There were only a few callers in, but I want to thank my listeners. And I hope there's things here that you feel like you can use. And you feel free to contact me at my website, susanlager.com, if you have ideas for any future shows. I'm always open to suggestions. Now, my next episode will be on, let's see, Wednesday, August 16th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'll be announcing the topic and a possible guest pretty soon. I have somebody who I think is sort of lined up.